Welcome to 20 Minutes and Two Beers In. I'm JD.
Hey, everybody. This is Bobby.
And we're recording remotely today, so we're not together drinking the same beer. What do you got this week, Bobby?
Throwback here, JD. I was unable to get to my favorite liquor store, and okay. So I always have a stock. It's kind of like you have the wine cellar. I have the beer cellar, and always year-round, you can find Shiner's Holiday Cheer in my beer cellar. Nice. So I pulled out some Holiday Cheer.
I've got Winter Ale, Pray for Snow. This is a Central Oregon brewery who puts this out. It's 7.0. It's a great beer, and it's definitely a winter ale. Delicious. Big thank you to DPR out of New York for sending us the craft beer. Very nice of them. I thought you'd be drinking to celebrate DeMarcus Ware's signing in Denver. You
that had
to
was be pretty
jumping
nice.
Up and down. Where are you guys getting the money? Where are the Broncos getting this money?
It's very easy, JD. John Elway has just—he sold all the car dealerships, all the restaurants, and he's folding all that money over into football players. It's easy when you do that. Clearly,
he doesn't play by the rules. He doesn't need to. He's the Chuck Norris of NFL former quarterbacks. Norris.
Well. When you have a guy like that that's helping out your team rather than a Mwelde Moore or a who's another great Viking who can reach deep into his pockets and give back to the team.
Brad Johnson.
The he's having trouble walking.
In NFL history.
He's having trouble walking right now. I don't think he's running there to help them.
Have you heard John Elway talk? He sounds like he's smoking like six packs a day.
Hey, we're really happy with our team right now. We got the nucleus of something great built in here.
You couldn't keep it going, could you?
No, that's all I had.
JD, the only thing I hear is angels sing when that man opens up his mouth. Angels sing.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, we have a wonderful podcast for you guys today. Eddie Kaufholz is joining us. Now, those of you who may not know Eddie is one of the cast members of the Relevant Podcast. Big podcast. I've been listening to it for years. He also is a contributor to Relevant Magazine. He's big into home brewing. He has some great stories about homebrew, and one of the names he has for a brew I think is just absolutely brilliant. So you're going to have to listen to that. Oh, he's also a pastor, so he fits all of this all in, but big fan of craft beer, and we talk craft beer. And there's a brewery in Florida where he's based that we gotta check out. I think he's going to try to ship us some. So
hey.
We always like beer.
Absolutely. Free beer, especially.
Yeah. And the way the Vikings have been handling free agency period, I think I'm going to need more beer.
You're going to need a lot more beer.
Oh, it's been painful. Painful. But
and you're not going to want a Minnesota beer either. You don't want the Grain Belt Premium. Oh. That's not going to make you feel better. That's going to make you feel worse.
Watch your mouth, sir. Watch your mouth.
I believe I was with you when you had a Grain Belt in the past year, and you were like, that is not how I remember it. I remember it being glorious, and this is not that.
You build up these things in your mind. There is this amusement park not far from where I lived called Adventureland. Okay?
It sounds amazing.
It does.
The title alone, riveting.
In a suburb of Des Moines.
That's where you go for thrill rides.
And I remember going there as a kid. Oh, this place is huge wooden roller coasters and all this stuff. And I went there, I think I was out of high school. I might have been even out of college. And I went back and I'm like, whoa. It's got a wooden roller coaster. That's it. And it's not good. And everything smells like funnel cakes. It was.
Is that a homeless guy with a shopping cart, or is he selling corn dogs out of that? I don't know what he's doing there.
Well, clearly in Iowa, it's got to be corn dogs. So, well, hey, we have a wonderful podcast, but I also have some great music. We're going to start.
You got to open up some music, yeah.
I do. The group Sleeping at Last. Have you heard of them, Bobby?
I have not.
They are Chicago-based, actually, out of Wheaton suburb. Ryan O'Neill, he started this with his brother and another guy. It was a three-piece band, but it really ended up being just him, kind of a Trent Reznor type of situation. He
will appreciate that you said that.
Yeah, I bet. He really connected with Billy Corgan and his side project Zwan and Yellow Card, something corporate, The Format. And also, he's open for Blue.
Excellent.
Friend of the podcast, Blue. But he has a series of these EPs out, and this is off the EP Atlas Space. It is called Sun.
Pulling at the seams, our once barren world now brims with life. We may fall in love every time we open up our. I guess space and time takes violent things, anger things, and makes them kind. We are the dust of dust. We are the
And we're back, and we're joined by Eddie Koffels. Eddie's a podcaster, writer, counselor, craft beer fan, home brewer, and a minister. He wears many hats. Eddie's one of the cast members of the very popular Relevant podcast, an offshoot of the Relevant magazine that tackles pop culture, Christian issues, and some amazing music at Relevant magazine. Eddie's a contributor and writes an advice column called Life 201. I think, trying to figure it out. I've been listening to the Relevant podcast for about 5 years, and I am one of those people who do subscribe.
You are a good man.
Now, not only is Eddie involved with the Relevant Media Group, he's also a craft beer guru. He's been a home brewer. And, yeah. Oh, yes, a minister at Summit Church, a husband and a father of two kids. Welcome to 20 Minutes and Two Beers In, Eddie.
Thank you. And of all of the parts of that introduction that impressed me the most was the fact that you said my last name correctly. And it is a crazy last name, and you just effortlessly went through it. I'm so proud of you. That was great.
We have a lot of unique last names here in Chicago. So.
Oh, I bet you do. That's right. Hey, do you guys have, what's the deal? Somebody was talking about the other day, Poroshki? Or what's the thing?
Potchkes.
Yeah, what's the deal with those? Have you had one?
I this year was my very first year having a potchke. It's a donut. I mean, it's just a really sugary donut, but it's good.
I'm down with that.
Hey, first question, right off the bat.
Yes.
You're a Florida Gator.
I
and a fan of the Gators.
I am, through thick and thin, a Gator.
Is this a conflict of interest for you professionally, being involved with such an evil conference as the SEC?
How could you? How could you? Our beloved Noah plays for the Chicago Bulls. So, yeah, I feel a little bit of a kindred to you, but how could you say that? That's a great question. I know people hate the SEC, and it's funny because, like, I just watch every single season. I'm like, yeah, I get it. I would hate us, too. We are obnoxious about it. But well, then I can't stop.
It's funny, I have bashed the SEC over the years on this show. But, you know, people in the SEC, playing for a national championship is a birthright.
Right. Right. Like, Florida does not win a national championship it within 2 or 3 years, and we immediately fire the coach, reset the entire coaching staff. Like, there are teams that have been battling it out and trying their entire college, for the history of their college. And Florida, we just immediately buy. Do you remember Ron Zook? He was our coach.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's when I went to Florida and, like, fire Ron Zook, the website got fired up, and we just had his head. And it was like we were still incredible. Like, it drives me crazy. Anyway, yes, I'm a proud Florida Gator, and I am super obnoxious about it during the seasons.
Hey, you may get a basketball national championship this year, though.
I know. I will be unabashedly obnoxious if and when that happens.
Before we get to your experience with Relevant, talk to me about home brewing. You've mentioned before on your show that you like that.
Okay, so my dad is a home brewer, and like, so I remember sitting out in the garage with my dad as he just stirred, you know, when I'm like 7, I just think it's this witch's cauldron of bubbling stuff in the garage, you know, and I'd be sitting out there with him, and it was just like, I loved it. And then all of a sudden, somewhere around college, it was high school. I realized, I was like, hey, this is beer. Hold on, I can make 5 gallons of beer at a time. And then you start to do the math. But since I've grown up and I've gotten older, like, I just love home brewing, and I think more than anything, I don't know that I have a good taste for if my own beer is good or not, because it's like knowing if your own child is like good looking or not. Like, because you taste it and you're like, I made you and I boiled you and we sat out and I tried my first full mash, and, you know, we did the whole thing in 2 weeks and I waited, and then it's just fantastic. But yeah, I love home brewing and the process of it. And you got to have people there with you. I've never home brewed alone.
What's the best stuff you've made?
I think my favorite, I think the one that was most exciting to me is I made a like a Belgian wheat style, and it was done in the summer and it was really hot here, and it really worked well. I was really, really happy with it.
What did you call your Belgian wheat? You had to give it a name.
Oh yeah. It was okay. It was called Rastus's Cream of Wheat Ale. And the reason was we found out that the guy who's like the chef on the front of the cream of wheat box is named Rastus.
Oh, wow. You went deep on this one.
We did. Yeah, we brewed one. God, I'm trying to remember what kind of beer it was. But we were brewing, and it was the day that Michael Jackson died. And like, so we named it Smooth Criminale. And like it was funny at the time, but then, you know, like when it's all done, you're like, man, it's kind of a bummer that Michael's gone, but that's still the name of our beer. So
and it's delightful. So
and it's delightful, and it's beer, and we made it. So let's pour one out for Michael.
You just drank it with one glove on.
That's right, which I always do anyhow. I'm always wearing one glove. Right now I'm wearing one glove.
Bedazzled, I'm sure.
Oh, obviously. Do you have to ask? Obviously, JD. Silly.
What's your favorite craft brew?
Oh, well, okay. So I feel really lucky because in Florida, have you had Cigar City or heard of it?
I have not.
Oh, gosh, man. It's going to blow your mind. So the thing is, in Tampa, Florida has not had great beers. And I don't know what the deal is. I just don't think it ever came down here. But there's a guy in Tampa who used to be a writer for the St. Pete Times, and he would write about all the craft beers. And so he went all over the country writing craft beers. And one day he said, like, I know enough about this. I'm going to make it. And he made this stuff and he started Cigar City Brewing. It's right outside of Ybor City. And I'm telling you, JD, this stuff will blow your mind. And I was like, not skeptical at first, but I was like, oh man, Florida beer has always been so junky, but this stuff is some of my favorite. So they make a Hi-Li IPA. It's the best IPA I've ever had. I can't even believe it. You gotta find it. I wonder if they have pretty small distribution. Am I allowed to send, can you mail people beer? Is that a thing that's legal?
I will say I just got a shipment of craft brew in from a colleague.
Oh, I'm going to send you Hi-Li. It's going to blow your mind. Like, so they do that. They have a Florida cracker, and they name it all after like local Florida stuff. They have a Florida cracker, white ale, and then they have what's called an invasion pale ale, but their stuff is just killer. So that's by far Cigar City Brewing here in Tampa. is by far some of my favorite. Also, I really liked Red Hook for a long time.
Yep.
Because I lived up in Seattle when they were a craft brewing place, but they kind of changed because they did that thing where, you know, they have to do distribution all over the country, and so then they started brewing it in a couple different places, and it kind of changed. But Red Hook out in Washington, I like a lot.
I kind of feel the same way about Goose Island here. Once that got purchased by Anheuser-Busch, it made me sad.
Yeah, because Goose Island used to be one of those great beers that you could get like every once in a while in certain places, but then you started seeing it in like those beer of the month clubs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, this stuff has changed.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait, Applebee's in Bemidji, Minnesota has this now? Come on.
I've gotten food poisoning twice at an Applebee's. And I didn't even, I don't like, I'm not a, like a food snob, but like there's something about Applebee's, man. This is probably not, this is beside the point, but anyway.
So has that tainted you from going back to Applebee's?
Oh, I won't go back there. Yeah, it's not even like I don't know if I could say I wish I could. I don't know. Does anybody wish they can? It's, I think by default you end up there. You're like, well, okay, we're here on a trip. It's either that or whatever. But yeah, I can't go back there. I just go in there. My stomach starts to turn. I can't even think about it.
Well, hey, let's talk about the Relevant Podcast.
Okay.
Huge podcast with millions of downloads every year. It's been going for 8 years.
Yeah.
How was it to join such a show? And for those of you who aren't familiar with the Relevant Podcast, as I mentioned earlier, like the magazine, you guys talk about music and culture, what's going on, across the world, really, but also a lot of humor with that. How is it to join a show as a regular cast member midstream?
It was a little bit, first of all, it was a crazy honor. It only happened because a lot of the Relevant guys go to the church that I'm one of the ministers at, and we just kind of all knew each other, and one day I was up there and I cracked a joke, and I think they were like, hello, we like to joke, so let's joke together. So first of all, it's just crazy to be asked. And it was really like walking in, I mean, like my first 2 weeks on the show, I was just silent because they're so fast and so funny. Like, and Cameron is just so like smart, and Jesse is so quick. I was like, I cannot keep up with these guys. But they were super gracious, and eventually you kind of start to figure it out. But I, to be honest, it still feels like exactly what it would feel like for somebody that's been a fan of the show for a long time would feel like to join it. I still sit down, and all of a sudden I hear like Jesse Carey in the headsets, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Jesse Carey. This guy's so funny. And then I get to talk and he hears me. So it was a huge honor. I love getting to do it.
And then you get a big name, like John Acuff joining the show.
Yes.
That was a nice get for you guys.
Yeah, it was really cool. That's all Cameron. We just sit down and he tells us nothing about what's going to happen on the show. And he's like, oh, guess what? John Acuff's on the show now. We're like, whoa, the Stuff Christians Like guy. So we all have the same reaction, listeners and podcast, you know, people that are on the show. And yeah, it was awesome. He's so great and funny. But he's another one. It's like, I cannot keep up with how funny and insightful this guy is, just, you know, in rapid succession. So, you know, he definitely upped the game.
Yeah, great author too. He's written Quitter and Start and a few others. My question for you also is, you know, millions of followers, you know, talk about the anonymity. How's that shifted for you?
Oh gosh. Yeah. When I started the show, I had you start because we're in a, what would be considered a mega church, you know? And mm-hmm. So there's like 2000 people. And I remember when I first started at the church, I was in like a grocery store one time and somebody was like, hey, what's going on? And I was wigged out by that. I was like, how do you know me? Like, what's going on right now? And also, I'm embarrassed because I'm buying beer. And like, I don't know how you feel about that. It's been kind of different in a really cool way because the fans of the show are like insanely loyal and they're just really loving and great. But it's also like, man, you like, I don't know, but I get emails constantly. I don't know. I'm still kind of processing it because you just step into this thing that's been happening way before you. And it's a really, it's flattering, but it's also a lot.
Oh, I bet.
It really is. In a cool way. I feel like such a snob saying that, but it's just like you forget anybody's listening. Well, like I do, because I'm not used to it. And so it feels like it's just the five of us goofing around. And all of a sudden, like even just during your intro, when you're like, a million people listen to it, I'm like, holy smokes, I forgot.
My sister-in-law, Emily, introduced us to the podcast with Jesse's bird smoothie story years ago.
Oh, my gosh. I just heard that story for the first time today.
it is. I think he's told it a few times, kind of like, not to get too inside baseball for those of you listening, but give the show a listen. It is extremely funny and gets you to think, too.
That's really kind of you to say, by the way. I see, I always forget, like, somebody actually listens to this junk, and you can, like, the words saying and these silly jokes, and you really listen. I really appreciate it. It's really sweet of you.
Yeah, every once in a while, we'll get to some of our listeners to hit us back. I'm like, oh, wait, they did listen, and they actually either drank the beer we took or ripped on my sport, take on different sports. And
yeah.
So that is fun. With this, you get to do some interviews, too. And so far, what has been the favorite interview you've got to conduct for on behalf of Relevant?
Okay. Well, I would like to say two things. First of all, you're a professional, right? Like, you're really good at this. Is this like your job? Because I do interviews, I sound like an idiot and barely get it. And then Chad just edits it all and it sounds good. But you're very clear. What do you do?
I used to be a television broadcaster years ago. And,
oh my gosh!
I have since left that industry, but this is my way to still have some fun with it.
Yeah, you're really good at it. Anyhow, I do terrible interviews with people, and they're nothing like this. But okay, so to answer your question, N.T. Wright, who I think probably people know, but he is right now probably one of the world's most well-known and forward-thinking theologians, and he and John Piper are kind of shaping the conversation of theology in our kind of in our lifetime. And certainly, the canon of what N.T. Wright has written will go many, many generations. And he very well, I mean, he will be in the same conversations as people like C.S. Lewis, which is crazy, and he would say, no, absolutely not. But when Cameron asked me to do the show, he's like, and you get to interview people. He said, who would you like to interview? And I was, and you know, I rattled off a bunch of people, but number one was N.T. Wright. And N.T. Wright graciously agreed to be interviewed. And I will tell you, like, when Cameron told me, like, I was being cool about it, but I got off the phone, man, I just cried. Like, I couldn't believe I was going to get to talk to this guy. And then the weirdest thing, I shared this on the show, but my name is Eddie, and that's what I, mm-hmm. like, that's what I go by. But I was so wigged out that I introduced myself as Edward because, like, I don't know what it was, but something clicked, and Eddie just was not adult enough for one of the preeminent theologians of our lifetime. And I was like, hello, my name is Edward, sir, and it's nice to meet you. And he called me Edward, and I was just like, well, I guess I'm Edward to N.T. Wright, and that's totally cool. But that was pretty phenomenal. That was crazy. I got to interview the guy that started Tom's Shoes, too. It was interesting to talk to him. Blake.
Oh, wow.
It was cool. Yeah, it was really neat.
You guys tackle a lot of big issues, but it's very funny. Does it surprise you how you guys are able to mix the two?
Yes, because like last week's show, we had a really good conversation that was not planned, but we talked about Ash Wednesday and Lent and why do we do this? And, you know, is this some, you know, we really got into it and our own personal kind of narrative behind why we're comfortable with giving things up for Lent and why we're not. And then 10 seconds later, Jesse Carey is announcing the winners of a reality competition joke thing that we did. And somehow it worked. Yeah, it's kind of crazy to me, but I think it's because the listeners allow it. People are just so gracious that they let us do that stuff, and the feedback drives the entire show, and it's really kind of a crowdsourced show. Well, it's like yours. I mean, I listened to your show, and it's clear that you have a fan base that's feeding back, and you just ordered, you know, you have glasses with your logo on it, and it's like, but it's like clear that it's like there's an interaction, and so they allow us to be a little schizophrenic in our format, but I love that they allow it and that we get to be that way.
In your advice column, Life 201, and that's in the magazine, do you get to choose the questions that come in, or are they presented to you and said, hey, you got to respond to this? How's that process work for you?
Well, it runs every Monday, and it's on like the relevant magazine website, and it really is kind of a little bit of both. We all have access to kind of a public account, and there'll be ones that'll come through that'll just hit me, and it'll just be like, we got to talk about this. And then we all have sort of that same visceral reaction to different questions, and our kind of rule for it has been just like anything goes. And Cameron, of course, you know, this is his brand, this is his thing, has been generous enough to just let us answer and talk about whatever. And so it's kind of both and I'm really excited about it because I think it's you know, entertaining, but also, you know, those are real people asking real questions, and for some reason or another, they didn't have anybody to answer that question. I hope they would have had somebody, you know, a pastor or somebody they could have called, but they emailed us, and so we get to engage with them in that. So yeah, it's awesome to get to do.
How do you balance all this? I mean, you're writing, counseling, on the podcast, yeah, let alone having a family. You got two little girls at home. How do you balance it all?
Oh, that's like everybody does, like you do, like everybody who's busy. I mean, like, I think the biggest thing for Bree and I, Brianne's my wife, is we are very intentional about keeping really tight margins on our life. And inside those margins, we go all in, and outside those margins, we don't allow it to be touched. So, like, Friday is family day, and I don't care what kind of deadline I have for the, you know, for Life 201, I just will not write on Friday. Like, no phone, we're going to hang out with the girls. But, you know, and so we're just really, really careful with that. And so keeping those margins and allowing ourselves to have that space makes it so that when we wake up Monday morning, we're recharged and we can hit the ground running, because she owns her own marriage and family therapy practice. And, you know, we've both got a lot going on, but, you know, every family is like this. And I think every marriage is the same. It's keeping margins, keeping boundaries, keeping a date night, and then showing a lot of grace when ultimately all of this at some point fails and you apologize and you just try again.
Nice. Well, before I let you go, Eddie, I've got to find out, as a Florida Gator,
yeah,
where's your hatred most? Is it towards Florida State or is it towards Alabama?
Oh, buddy, it is all SEC. So for as much pride as I have internally, like externally talking about the SEC, it is Alabama, it is LSU, and plus, I mean, Florida State, honestly, how deep am I going to get into this? They're just a bunch of criminals, and it was a clown college, and they're not really even competition, and I don't even care to talk about them. Wow. It's a rival. It's just a sweet little rivalry. But when it gets down to it, Alabama, come on, LSU. I hate Auburn. You got to keep it in the SEC, and that's why we're such punks. Because who's our biggest competition? Everyone else in the SEC, even sweet Vanderbilt, who just tries so hard and puts on its dad's coat and does his best to win a game. We still.
That is great. Well, thank you so much, Eddie, for joining us. You can check out the Relevant podcast every Friday. You can get it to relevant.com, I believe. Yep. Also, Relevant magazine. You please subscribe to it. A great thing. Next time you're in Chicago, we're going to have some Chicago brew.
Dude, I would love that. What's going on when all my guts were telling me to run a stock around when I should have been there
with you? And after all that we lost, I swear I'll never let. So much fun having Eddie on the show, and we'll definitely have to have him on again and get together with Eddie in person for some Chicago brew.
Absolutely. Well, JD, I got music for us this week, and this music people can get on their own for free right now.
Wow.
Absolutely.
The price is right.
The price is absolutely right. And then, you know, if you like it, obviously, you can toss a little scratch their way, buy the album, something like that. But anyways, this is, you can get, if you just Google NPR South by Southwest 2014. They have a South by Southwest 100. It's 100 downloads you can get, JD, for free. You can either get them all or you can handpick the tracks you want. It's by one of their 100 tracks that they want you to hear by artists, 100 different artists that are playing South by Southwest, which is going on this week as we're recording. This band is at South by Southwest. The band is called Football Etc., and this song is called Goal.
For our six pack, usually we're in the same area and we have a competition to see who goes first,
which I usually win.
Again, I've had injuries. I've been on the shelf, so
statistically speaking, in the four seasons of this show, I believe 82.5% of the time I'm the victor in these competitions.
Yeah, we've played a lot of horse. We played bags, which is a game here in Chicago. That
I think we've played Frogger. We've played Donkey Kong.
We've played
RBI Baseball.
RBI Baseball. Didn't we play Tecmo once?
I think we did.
All right, all right. Well,
we do everything here.
But you know what? I'm going to be the better person.
And for once, hey.
I'm going to go first. And so, okay. Bobby, we need to start this, but we need music. We need to start it
now.
Bobby, one of the hottest and most anticipated albums of the year is the new U2 album. Do you even care?
No, I haven't cared about a U2 album since All That You Can't Leave Behind, which was in 2000 or 2001 when that album came out. U2 puts out good songs, but they're an aging band at this point. An aging band doesn't... I don't like full albums. I like tracks by aging bands because I don't think there's a lot of stuff to say for a complete album's worth. It's a long way of me saying, JD, no, I don't care about the album.
Nope, I do, don't care.
I they always have a couple really good tracks, but I haven't really gotten into a U2 album in over 10 years. So, not really interested.
All right.
JD, free agency is underway. I want to know who your best free agent signing is and who your worst free agent signing is so far.
Well, we haven't done much.
I'm talking not just Vikings. I'm talking about in the NFL. I'm asking you to branch out.
Yes.
Expand your horizons here, JD.
I would say the best free agent signing, as much as it pains me, and I talked about it earlier, was DeMarcus Ware to the Broncos. The rich get richer. I could have almost gone with Michael Bennett to going back to Seattle. That would have been a loss, but you know, bringing him back, I think that's solid. The worst free agent signing. Yeah, there's not a ton that make me go, really? The Bears picking up Houston from. And I can't even remember his first name.
Lamar
Houston from the Raiders.
Yeah.
I'd only say it because I feel like they threw him way too much money.
Okay.
He's a young guy. And I'm gonna slam my Vikings. Griffin. Defensive lineman, Everett Griffin. Mm-hmm. It's they threw a ton of money at a guy who really hasn't been a starter much.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to fill in some big shoes, but wow, that it made me a bit nervous that we went out and did that. So those would be the best and worst I'd have so far. Spring's pretty much here. We're drinking winter beers, which is just absolutely asinine, stupid of us. Bobby, first spring seasonal beer you're going to drink is?
Ooh, spring seasonal, which means I'm going to a beer garden. Spring season for me means beer gardens are starting to open up. It's time to go outside and drink outside. Beer gardens and baseball. One of my favorite parts about the spring is when I have Bell's Oberon, one of my first beers that I really enjoyed. That was kind of more of an independent brewery was Bell's, and the Bell's Oberon. A few summers ago, I got introduced to it in Chicago. There it is, JD. I'm looking forward to a Bell's Oberon.
Boom.
JD, Barack Obama was recently on Between Two Ferns.
You're not going here.
With Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, that was going to be my question for you.
Well, I stole it from you.
All right.
Really entertaining one. But now, how does Zach one up? How does he make it better? Who is the next person that he can get to make his to do a next episode where you don't say that was a step down?
You dirty.
You're so mad at me.
Just fuming.
Did I steal your question?
And I left it as my third question because I'm like, you know what? I'm going to leave this. This is going to be a big one for Bobby to come off and say, hey, you know, this is what, yeah.
My questions are so good, JD. This isn't even my last one. My last one's going to knock you over.
It's gonna knock my socks off. It's hard to top the POTUS.
Yeah.
It really is. My gosh. Who do you bring in after that? You need to bring in somebody who is very serious.
Mm-hmm.
And would make people, like, you know, kind of be like, oh my goodness, I can't believe he's, and but still be funny.
Sure.
So to me, it's almost like you got to bring in Charlie Rose. I think he's a newsman. Mm-hmm. He's very serious. He's an interviewer. So to turn the tables on him, I think would be good.
Interesting.
I'm going Charlie Rose.
Wow,
I almost went with Matthew McConaughey, but I'm going Charlie Rose. Two totally different guys.
Very different angles that you came at that.
Yeah. Speaking of McConaughey, True Detective just wrapped up. I went on a binge watching. I watched all 8 episodes in a matter of like 3 or 4 days. You watched it as well. Season 2, they're having different actors, different situation. Mm-hmm. What tandem? Who are the two actors you think could carry the torch? Because Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey were absolutely amazing in their two roles. To me, Matthew McConaughey's acting, it's some of the best. I can't tell you, like, I don't want to say he's the best actor of our generation, but that was one of the best performances I've seen.
It changed the way I think about him as an actor. Like, before that, I didn't really... I liked him in a few things. There were
wedding
a lot
planner.
Of stuff.
I know, like, you were a big Wedding Planner fan.
Oh, huge, absolutely. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. My wife raves about that
in
movie.
Sphere?
Still thinks it's one of the top 5 movies of all time.
You loved him in Sphere.
But seriously, he was so great in it that it changed my mind. I'll tell you who would be good. A tandem is so hard to predict how they're going to work out. Willem Dafoe.
Ooh.
Is really, really, he can get into some characters. Now, if you remember, what is that movie called?
Spider-Man?
Well,
no.
Obviously Spider-Man, but Boondock Saints, he was a detective in that one.
Yep.
And he was really good and kind of out there. And you need somebody who's going to be out there who can go to places for that show because it's so dark. Aside from that, I could see, and this is weird, man, but bear with me, okay?
Yes.
Dylan McDermott.
Okay, it's not weird.
All right, because I think he's different than Willem Dafoe. They're both aging actors. I think that's who you need to do. You need the detective role on this plays out well when you have guys who are older and they have character, they've got experience. I think those are two guys who could do a good job. You're probably going to need a bigger names than that, so that was probably a terrible answer to your question, JD.
But, and I'm going to answer my own question. I know it's not the way of the... But the
you didn't ask. You weren't asked.
No, but you already screwed up my other question, I got to throw this out there. I would have Jason Clark, who was in Chicago Code, and he was also in, not the Hurt Locker, but the one where they got Osama.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that one.
That one.
That one.
The one that won all the awards and
yes.
James Cameron's wife.
Yeah, did. Yeah. But he's an amazing actor. Pair him with Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, there you go.
I think that would be fun. Or now hear me out. I may be going out on a limb here. But Jason Schwartzman and Oscar the Grouch.
Good pairing right there. JD, last question for you. And like I said, this is saving the best for last. Did you read
you can just stop right there.
Yeah, you didn't? That's a safe answer right there. You don't read.
Where's the movie? 2 hours, no reading.
All right. Doug McDermott. There's an article on him in this week's Sports Illustrated. And Doug McDermott, they say that he gets hypnotized before every game. My question for you, what do you want to be hypnotized before doing? What is the one thing in your life you want to get hypnotized and then go into? That's an evil laugh right there, my friend.
Okay.
Keep it peachy. We had a pastor on the show tonight. All right?
I know, right? Right? I think it's a great story with McDermott. Coach's kid and making this much noise. He was a sixth man in high school. You know, he wasn't a breakout star right away. So great to see him.
You are really, really stretching this one stalling. Right now.
You know, what I need to be hypnotized?
Come on, Berman, let's go.
some days I feel like I need to be hypnotized before I do this show.
Hey,
but that's a tough question, Bobby. Hypnotized before.
My thoughts are you could, and I'm helping you. I'm helping you, and I'm stretching this.
Go ahead.
You could use the hypnotism if it worked for you, like McDermott. When we play horse, maybe that would help your game out. That I'm just saying. I'm just kind of giving you an idea.
No. I need to be hypnotized before, and this may sound extremely weird, before I make dinner, because usually my wife's an amazing cook, but she's like, you know, hey, tonight can you cook? You know, can you make dinner? And I'm like, yeah, you know, absolutely. You know, I'm all for it. You know, here's the recipe. I get cold sweats. Like, if there's not every single ingredient there, like, I chop everything up and it's sitting there waiting for me to put into whatever I'm going to make. I can't do it on the fly. And then all of a sudden, if like, oh, hey, it needs oregano. I don't have oregano.
Nope,
I'm ordering a pizza. Because I get that freaked out with cooking. I like to cook, but I am horrible at it. That's what I'm going with. That is what I'm going with. So, well, that brings us to the end of the six-pack of questions. When we come back, odd news and our last call one stop away.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
Time for last call one stop away. Odd news, and Bobby, mine comes from Australia. I'm not even going to do an accent. Well, I got to do an accent. Foster's. Australian for beer.
Oh, that was a terrible one. You couldn't even do Put Another Shrimp on the Barbie?
Put Another Shrimp on the Barbie. No?
Let's get to the story.
I feel like I'm getting so much better. I feel like I'm getting better with my accents. Yeah. A koala
Keep
bear.
Keep on dreaming.
A wallaby.
Oh, my God.
I'm just...
I might just ban you from doing a story at this point. I might just take over.
I can do this story, Bobby.
Oh no. Can I unplug? Can we get the producer to unplug your microphone right now, and I'll just finish this one off for us?
Mine is from Yeppin, Australia. All right, I'll ditch the accent. All right. So a man, Australian man, he got bit by an Eastern brown snake. Are you familiar with the Eastern brown snake, Bobby?
Am not.
It is. It can be deadly, very deadly. So what does he do? He gets bit by one of those things. He grabs a shovel, whack the snake in the head, killing it, obviously. Figuring that, in his words, he might cark it. I'm guessing that means die. He might cark it. The 54-year-old dude, Rodney Somerville, decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kick the bucket anyway. Might as well have a beer. So he went and grabbed a cold one. I said to myself, now I have to do an accent because this is a quote.
Of course.
I said to myself, if I'm going to cark it, I'm going to have a beer. So I got a Goldie out of the fridge and drank it.
That was Scottish right there.
Because you know, Eastern Browns are the second most venomous snake in the world. Somerville told Rocket, my accent is awesome. I'm spot on.
Are you sweating right now?
I think I am sweating. He said, if you panic, it makes it worse. He called an ambulance as well as eventually received anti-venom. Unfortunately, he had an allergic reaction to the medicine, still in the hospital, but he said, the reaction nearly killed me as well, so it was a double whammy. So, but he did have the beer. I
feel like Shrek just read the first last call for us. Donkey.
I thought I was spot on. I thought it was good. That was one of the best ones I've done.
Oh boy, JD.
Bring it.
All right. There is a single woman in Grand Cayman right now.
There's only one?
I bet
she's sought after.
There's a new one, I should say.
Okay.
And here's why. A drunk married couple on their way, they were on their way to, the story is that they're on their way to their honeymoon. They got into a drunken argument on the flight from Atlanta to Costa Rica. And when the plane...
On their honeymoon.
When the plane landed in Grand Cayman, the man... Michael Forrett is his name, was escorted from the flight and held in custody on charges of drunk and disorderly. And his wife went on, finished the flight, is now in San Jose, Costa Rica. So single woman in Costa Rica, JD, San Jose.
By herself.
So she didn't even wait for him. Well, she went on.
She's by herself. But she's single? She's married now.
Well.
Okay,
we'll see.
Okay, continue.
So he had to be held over, appeared in front of a judge, was fined for it. He had to pay $600 fine for disruptive behavior aboard a commercial flight. But the worst thing, I think, is he's got to go, what do you think that conversation's like when you get to San Jose? First off, does she pick him up at the airport? I mean, that's a question mark. Second off,
cabana number three, honey. That's where I'll be.
When you go to the resort, did she change her name at the resort? Like, is she staying under an alias? Like we talked about on a few other episodes. Does she now have an alias where he's like, Mrs. Ferret, I'm here to be... No, we don't have anybody here by that name.
We have a Mrs. Ron Mexico.
Yeah. Can I just walk around here and look around? No, sir. I'm sorry, you cannot. Yeah.
The guy is in a world of hurt. He is a world of hurt. And the fact that she's like, you know what? He did this to himself.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do my own thing. I'm going to go snorkeling. Oh, two of you. No, just one. Oh, you have a great sushi place. Yeah. Two. No, just one.
We scheduled a couple's massage. Can instead that just be two back-to-back massages for me? Thanks. That'd be awesome. You know, though, as soon as he was kicked off that plane, there was some sketchball that was on the plane that was like, hey.
Oh, yeah.
So where are you going to be staying at in Costa Rica?
Well, and you know, she's like, I'm going to go horseback riding. Oh, the two horses? Yeah, bring them both. We're going to make this extra long. When one gets tired, I'm going to go over to the hubbies. Yeah, that's horrible. No, you don't feel for the guy. He got drunk and disorderly. How could you feel for the guy?
They had to divert a plane because of him.
Could you imagine, in How I Met Your Mother style, they're sitting telling their kids someday how they met their mother, and he's going to, he got drunk on the plane, and then, I just continued on. He was detained, and, and now you know him as Uncle Fred. Hey, it has been a fun podcast. A huge thank you to Eddie Koffels for being on. We'll definitely have him on again sometime get some of that Cigar City Brewing that he mentioned. If you get a chance, listen to the Relevant Podcast. Go to just Google Relevant Podcast, and you can find it on iTunes, Relevant Magazine, and check out some of Eddie's writings. And great show, great time to have those guys on. But for that, Bobby, where can people find us?
Well, you can follow us on Twitter. We're at @2beersin. That's the number 2. 2beersin on Twitter. And also, you can email the podcast, 20minutes2beersin@gmail.com. There's no and in that one. It's 20minutes2beersin@gmail.com.
And you can find us on Facebook, 20minutes2beersin as well. So a lot of places to find us. And that brings us to the end of 165. We will see you next week. I thought it was good. That was one of the best ones I've done.